From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. Speaker Johnson, wary of losing his job, decided to go kiss the ring down in Mar-a-Lago. Always a little tricky when you got to go down to the old beach house and
talk to Big Daddy.
So we'll get into that. Before we get into the national stuff, I got a text message from my good friend Frank Shires last night. Late night text from Frank.
Oh.
Sends me this study from the Daily Signal, which obviously is a reputable publication. I've never heard of them, but why would Frank, my good boomer friend, send me an article in this way? Now, Frank and I have had many conversations around transgender individuals and trans kids and all that other kind of stuff. So Frank knows that I'm very educated on this particular topic. I wanted to talk about the study that Frank sent me, not to get into another trans debate, but to show people how any media outlet, doesn't matter if it's a right wing or a left wing or whatever it is, will often take a review or a study or research, and they will then spin that to fit their particular political narrative.
Sure, yeah.
This isn't just a left-right problem. This is an problem.
It's agenda journalism. So, using the term journalism very, very loosely, right?
And Spike, you got a trans kid.
I do.
So I know it's very personal for you.
Extremely.
So we're going to try our very best not to do the trans debate today. We're just going to talk about journalism as a whole, because this kind of analysis should be available to everybody.
Yes.
So there was this doctor from the NHS in the UK. Her name is Dr. Cass, and she was tasked with doing a review of the services that are provided to children who are suffering from gender dysphoria in the UK.
Okay.
So she's just basically reviewing the guidelines, seeing how the NHS needs to change all that. The Daily Signal releases this based on her findings. This is the headline that Frank sent me. Trans juggernaut hits a speed bump. Landmark study reveals transgender kids actually have other mental health diagnoses instead. Boom, baby. That's, bombshell,
yeah,
right?
That's a lot.
And then you go down into the article and it says, it has been a red letter week for destroying the gender narrative, and the trans juggernaut has just hit another speed bump. A new study from British pediatrician Dr. Hilary Cass confirms what we've always known. Children presenting with sudden onset gender dysphoria are actually suffering from other mental health diagnoses, not true gender dysphoria. Her research debunks the gender ideologue's frequent talking point that the imposition of gender-affirming care on mentally ill children is not only necessary, but life-saving. Wow!
That is an incredible discovery.
Wow, what an incredible discovery. But the problem is I have this thing called Google. And so I Googled Dr.
Google, yes. Let me write this down.
Everybody write this down. Yeah. Andrew, write this down. This is important.
That's with two O's.
I have this thing called Google. And so I Googled Dr. Hilary Cass's final report. Again, this is what the British government paid her to do.
Yeah.
And what she describes here is not what the article is talking about, because she didn't do a study. She didn't conduct any meta-analysis. She didn't take longitudinal data sets and compile them, right?
Right. Science and medicine always does.
Yeah. Her job was to look at the medical model and see how it could be fixed. So this is basically what her recommendations are. Services must operate to the same standards as other services seeing children and young people with complex presentations and or additional risk factors. That sounds pretty reasonable.
It does, that people, the kids who suffer from gender dysphoria, and I'm not a scientist, should get the same level of attention care as with people with other problems.
She's asking for more funding.
That's great. This is a great study, but that's not what the story's.
Right, exactly. And here's the other thing that was so great about this. Expanded capacity through a distributed service model based in pediatric services with stronger links between secondary and specialist services. She's talking about teams working together to better facilitate healthcare for trans kids. Goes on to say, children and young people referred to NHS gender services must receive a holistic assessment of their needs to inform an individualized care plan. Now, holistic meaning entirety.
All encompassing.
Said this should include screening for neurodevelopmental conditions, including autism spectrum disorder and a mental health assessment. So basically what she's saying, this fine physician, is that they need more research, more funding, and more doctors for these kids.
Yes, and that all those involved in helping these children should communicate with each other to better understand what everyone has discovered.
Here's another great one. Yeah. NHS England should ensure that each regional center has a follow-through service for 17 to 25-year-olds, either by extending the range of the regional children and young people service through linked services to ensure continuity of care and support at a potentially vulnerable stage in their journey. That's about as pro-trans as it gets, meaning that if they receive gender-affirming care at 16, mm-hmm. they should get it all the way through 25 from the NHS.
This is actually a great bit of work by the doctor.
I know.
A great bit of work. And I think the Signal might owe the doctor an apology.
I mean, the Signal, this is the issue with the Signal, is they took this review, and then they took bits and pieces of it, and then they basically, Sarah Parshall Perry took this, and then she flipped it on its head. Now, the Daily Signal is part of the Heritage Foundation, which is a right-wing organization.
Okay.
So you take a study or a review of studies or a review of the services that are offered to trans youth, and you distort it so that my boomer friend Frank at 9 o'clock on a Wednesday night texts it to me, thinking that it is in some way a sick dunk on the way that I feel about trans people. I'll give you guys one more quick option. Again, we're talking about how awful this article is from the Daily Signal. It says, the puberty blocker trial previously announced by NHS England should be part of a program of research which also reevaluates outcomes of psychosocial interventions and masculine and slash feminizing hormones. But here in this Daily Signal, they're saying her research debunks the gender ideologue's frequent talking point that the imposition of medical gender-affirming care on mentally ill children is not necessary. But she's actually saying, you see what I'm saying? They are taking the exact opposite of what she said, and they are making it into their own narrative. And this is bad journalism. And that's what I wanted to showcase for people.
Well, the Signal owes her more than an apology. They might owe her a little bit of compensation for misrepresentation of her studies and thus impugning the integrity of her name and her body of work, not only what she found. The Signal should have wrote, trans juggernaut gets green light flag waved through as more information and sounder thinking is revealed.
Right. And so I kept trying to look in this for data sets. I kept trying to look and I kept saying, Frank, where's the data? Where's the information? Where are the citations in this? Yeah. And Frank said, oh, they're in these links. But every time I clicked one of the links, I was taken to an article from The Guardian. I was taken with no data sets. Yeah. So this is the way we approach, we should approach journalism in general.
Yeah.
Somebody makes a claim that says, new research comes out saying gender dysphoria is not real. And you read it. Where's the citation? Where's the study? If you find the link to the study, you click it and then you go, okay, so what were the metrics by which they were measuring this? Was it a longitudinal study over 5 years or was it a 10-year longitudinal study? What was the age group? Was it 13 to 18 or 18 to 25? What are the income brackets? What's the access to healthcare? The reason that this is important, the United States military released a study 18 months ago saying that a third of servicemen and women who got gender-affirming care within the military later went on to, quote-unquote, detransition. But two-thirds of the people that they included in detransitioning uh-huh. were either reducing the amount of hormones that they were on, which is common for trans people,
right.
or they had switched insurance providers, meaning that they were getting their gender-affirming care from someone other than the United States military. But the right-wing media complex took that story and they said, a third of people who are trans detransition because they didn't bother to read the data set. And that's why this kind of stuff is so important, so that you understand when you go through an article like that how incredibly disingenuous stuff like this is. The left does it, the right does it. This is just an awful example from the right.
It's bad for everybody. Yeah. So how do people... So what should people do?
Frank needs to, one, not send me garbage at 9 o'clock night.
No, we're moving forward. what can people do when they see something that's it's clearly written to engage them, like you said? Yeah. If that's the word I'm trying to use more. Right? It's a clickbait story. It's a fire-up what people already believe.
Yeah.
It's a self-confirming by, you know, what do you call that? When you reconfirm your previous
Confirmation bias.
Yeah. How do people spot this and not fall for it?
So it's the language first and foremost, right? So the language in this Daily Signal article is study trans juggernaut hits a speed bump. That's not a study. That's an editorial, right? And then it says landmark study reveals transgender kids actually have other mental health diagnoses instead. So then you would go down and you would say, okay, so Dr. Hillary Cass, you would take that name, put it into Google, find the report itself, look at what data sets she was using to come to the conclusion that trans people actually need more health care. And then you would say, okay, the Daily Signal is in fact lying to me as a conservative, and that deeply upsets me, right? Yeah. That's the way you would do that.
Here's the problem. A lot of people who read the Daily Signal don't want the right information.
Well, here's the issue, right? Like, Spike, you brought this up. There's this Florida anti-trans bathroom law spurs harrowing vigilante attacks, right? So this is from the Daily Beast, talking about how there was a woman who was stopped from going into the woman's bathroom because somebody thought that she was trans. She's not.
Well, this woman has, was she transitioned in the 80s?
Oh, I thought we were talking about the one later down in the article.
No, I'm talking about, okay. Sorry, my mistake. Well, the point of the story is that in Florida, about a year ago, they passed the Safe Restroom Privacy Act, or the Private Spaces Act. And it says that, you know, trans people are not allowed to use the restrooms in public state facilities.
Okay.
Right. Government-controlled facilities, unless they're the gender of their birth.
Yeah.
Well, people in Florida take it upon themselves to become ignorance deputized. And now every time someone who is trans goes into any restroom in Florida, you got the man militia trotting people out. And the incidents of violence against
right.
trans communities. So it's not just the Signal doesn't just get people fired up to send Jack a text at 9:10 at night. They're firing people up to vilify a community that doesn't deserve vilification because it's not based in science.
Well, and I think that's the issue with this, right? Like this article that was written is going to give people the impression that one of the foremost experts in pediatric care in the UK is attempting to abolish gender affirming care in the UK when it's not. She's just putting the recommendation that hormone treatment be started at 16. She's talking about more data being needed for puberty blockers. She's talking about kids on the autism spectrum potentially being misdiagnosed. That's been known since 2012. But that article from the Daily Signal doesn't mention any of that because it's bad journalism. And I would highly recommend, if people out there are saying the left does this all the time too, I agree with you. That we have to call it out wherever we see it so that we're not misinformed when it comes to very important issues. And then we can go and debate these issues, but not just because the Daily Signal writes a trash article.
And for the public health and well-being of all of us, not just the members of the trans community.
So Speaker Johnson, who God talks to, by the way, Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. Did you guys know this? God talks to Mike Johnson.
I've heard.
God spoke to me the other day. Did you guys know this? It was just yesterday.
Well, you mentioned earlier in the week. This is another?
Another. God was speaking to me.
Wow.
I was making my teriyaki chicken, minding my own business, and I heard the voice of God in my head. And he said, "What recipe do you use for your teriyaki chicken?" And I said, "Is that you, God? It's me, Margaret." And then I said, he said, "No, this isn't Margaret, it's Jack." And then I go, "Okay, God, I was trying to fool you." And then I said, "I use a little bit of soy, first and foremost, and then I kind of marinate it in the soy, and then I put the teriyaki in after it's met and got introduced to the soy first.
Okay.
But then I use Japanese barbecue sauce." And then God said, "Which Japanese barbecue sauce?" And I said, "The one you get at Whole Foods with the little red octopus on the front." And he goes,
I love that one,
right?
Yeah, sure.
And then I was like, "Okay, God, well, thanks for coming and checking on my chicken teriyaki recipe."
Put God approved on the label now.
Hey, he speaks
endorse.
To me, man. I mean, he told Mike Johnson to be the Speaker of the House. God wants to know about my teriyaki chicken recipe. I think we know who God likes more. That's just what I'm saying, right? So
right.
He is currently having a hard time. Speaker of the House, not God. Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. He's having a hard time because he was basically a motion to vacate has been introduced.
And it's actually not going away because Marjorie Taylor Greene's thinks she's got the pulse of the electorate.
Yep.
She said yesterday, "I understand what the base wants."
Mm-hmm.
"And what the base wants is us to shut down foreign aid to Ukraine."
Yeah, that's
and until
what
we put
really
a
want.
Wall at the border, and we're not helping anybody. I'm paraphrasing a little bit here. Well, she's got the power to unseat Mike Johnson, even though almost the entirety of the Republican caucus knows what a bad idea this is to throw chaos and turmoil in 6-7 months before a general election. And Mike Johnson went down to the Southern White House to Mar-a-Lago to ask Big Daddy to reel in Moscow Marge a little bit. "Can you get your girl in a control for me there, boss?"
So Laura did a little bit of deep diving for us. And apparently Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, before he was ousted, when he was on the fence, he also went down to Mar-a-Lago trying to...
"Hey, Big Daddy."
"Hey, Daddy.
Hey, Big Daddy.
Having a hard time up at the old schoolhouse."
Yeah.
"I was wondering if you might try to whip those people in line." So what does this mean about the GOP, where you have two speakers of the House within 12 months of each other who are both now being threatened with their jobs because they, they're part of the machine. They play the game of the machine. And they both have to go to Daddy to try to solve this problem. Now, he has offered Marjorie Taylor Greene a position of authority within the Republican
47th administration, if he gets there, the party in general.
The party in general.
Okay, yeah,
but
yeah.
Then I'm also assuming that she's going to be offered a cabinet position as well.
So she.
Right.
She's assuming that, too.
She really wants that cabinet position so that she can bring CrossFit to everybody in the White House.
Well, that'd be actually nice.
So my analysis of this is... It's weird to me that the party doesn't have control over itself. You know, you look at someone like Pelosi. Now, I'm not necessarily a fan of Nancy Pelosi, but she ran that party with an iron fist. Do you remember what happened when they were going to vote on funding for Israel and AOC was going to vote no?
Nancy Pelosi pulled the vote. She didn't have the vote. Well, right, you pull the vote because if you don't have the votes,
What Pelosi did is that she convinced AOC to vote. Absent. What is it?
Non-voting.
Non-voting.
Yeah, you're right. Abstain from voting.
This is where AOC started crying in the House floor because she wanted to vote no on the funding, and Pelosi said, "I will primary you out of existence if you vote no on this and lose us as funding." So, point being, is it why is it that the GOP is in such turmoil, and is this going to affect the GOP in 2024? I think so. Because your average American, my mom is my temperature gauge for how the average American feels.
That's okay.
Right. Yeah. So when Trump was doing really good, when I asked Mama Jay how she felt about Donald Trump, she would shrug. Oh, he's doing all right. Yeah. But when things are going bad, Mama Jay comes to me and she says, "What's the deal with the guy with the glasses who looks like Harry Potter who talks to God?" If Mama Jay's concerned because she's so disconnected from news.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden I know that the average American is getting that
news. It's not just the news junkies anymore.
No.
It's
Mama Jay in the middle of nowhere who doesn't only
it's getting real.
She only reads the news when someone drops off one of their horses in a trailer and they've lined the bottom of the trailer with the news. And then she goes, "Is that Harry Potter, Speaker of the House? I should ask my son about this. Who's that Harry Potter looking man who's the Speaker of the House?" Then I say, "Okay, this is going bad." Polling numbers for Biden continue to fluctuate. Polling numbers for Donald Trump continue to fluctuate. It's kind of hard to say. Oh,
it's all within the margins 7 months out, right?
It's all within the margins.
So you can't look at anything like that. But what you can look at is the fact that the GOP is so fractured and Mike Johnson has no control over his caucus.
Right.
And I mean, they've had 4 procedural votes fail under the 6 months Mike Johnson's been Speaker. Nancy had 0 in 2 different roles as Speaker of the House. She had 0 procedure votes fail in the House of Representatives when she was Speaker of the House. That's control, that's power, that's knowing how to do the job. Johnson doesn't have it.
This is very true. Laura, I owe you an apology because you grabbed audio of Marjorie Taylor Greene. I, in the spirit of me attempting to be a nicer person, I can't listen to that woman speak because I will be cruel and I will be mean. And I need to be nice and be kind.
That's good. Good.
And so one of my rules is that in the same way that Kermit the Frog deeply triggers me at a deep, visceral level, so doth too one Marjorie Taylor Greene. Just the sound of that voice will put me into a rage spiral like you will not believe. I've got GDS. Get it?
Green,
okay, you didn't laugh.
No,
that's
well,
okay.
I had to do it in my head first. Okay, I got it.
Arizona's abortion ruling threatens to upend in 2024 races. Everybody's talking about abortion now being kind of this political, was a win, but now looks like everybody's backing away from it because it might be a loss. And one of the most pro-life people I have ever had the displeasure of hearing speak, he himself is backing off of the pro-life position. This is bad news bears for the pro-life movement. We'll talk about it when we get back right after this.
When the effects of that law are felt by citizens of Washington, there's a town like Kelso.
Or based.
Thank you, Dolly Parton, for being a living saint. Laura, was that you or was that Justin?
That was a combined effort.
Yes, yeah. that is a spicy meatball, that
man
one.
Named Wally.
Cringe or based, a fun segment we like to do every day, 1:35. This is when our program director is listening because he's having his lunch and he's very scrutinous over the words that come out of our mouths.
Hi, boss.
No mistakes there, Spike. No mistakes there, Laura. Andrew, you're at the top of the list when it comes to scrutiny from one Mr. Buckley. So be on your best behavior, my friend.
I am the real troublemaker around here.
K catastrophic and a shock is what Arizona's abortion ruling is being referred to as, not by members of the Democratic Party, but by members of the Republican Party.
Uh-huh.
Including such pro-life luminaries as Carrie Lake, who previously was in favor of such a thing and is now not so much. He's actually now walking that on back. You got a bunch of people now coming out talking about how, you know, abortion is about, you know, it's literally saving the lives. Got to save the lives of all these unborn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pro-life person.
Sure.
Got to save the lives of all these unborn. But these new laws, which save the lives of the unborn, in an election year, so we could sacrifice a couple thousand babies. I mean, who's counting, right? Me, you, Bahamut? Who's counting the amount of dead babies that are being sent into limbo, right? That really makes a difference.
I think what they're really counting is, like you said, they're counting the polling. They're counting the 70% approval rating from across America that says that's to some degree.
Right.
There's a point where abortion is a health decision, a right for mothers to, with various, you know, exemptions along the way. And, you know, with the 3-4 days, Trump was out on Monday saying, I leave it to the states. The rule of the land is the rule of the states.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day, Arizona puts a big golden tennis shoe up his backside with this 1864.
Right. Republicans in Arizona are asking Governor Katie Hobbs, a Democrat, to come up with a solution, right?
Yeah.
Because this law is so bad. It's a very restrictive law. Two weeks.
All the House representatives from Arizona, all the senators from Arizona at the U.S. Capitol are saying, hey, we're getting this wrong. We need to fix this now.
So, but here's the thing, is that if you're a pro-life person, you should be dancing in the street. And we'll be singing, playing, and laughing, baby, dancing in the street. Because now, you know, abortion is no longer available in Arizona. So if you're a pro-life person, you should be jumping up and down. Now, one of the most pro-life people of I have ever heard in my life, one Ben Shapiro of the Daily Wire.
Okay.
This is a guy who said that, you know, this is a guy who talks to the March for Life every single year in February. This is a marquee speaker. This is a man of principle who would never back down from his pro-life stance in the face of winning elections. The elections don't matter. The lives of the, if we can save one baby, just one baby with these restrictive draconian abortion laws, that's good enough, right? Because this is literal child sacrifice. That's the position of the Daily Wire. They're literally sacrificing children to the Dark Lord Bahamut. And so thankfully we have a clip of Ben Shapiro not backing off his principles and not going back and saying, actually, this is for, we should reconsider this for winning elections, because that would be moral cowardice, right?
It certainly can be.
Laura, play me this clip of this man being a hero of conservatism and of the pro-life movement.
The politics here are very good for Democrats, because what Democrats want is for pro-lifers to move really fast and really hard in a wide variety of battleground states, hoping that they will then get the Michigan-Kansas response.
What? No, wait, he said... He's supposed to say that this is a good thing. Move fast. Save babies.
Save
right?
babies. Who cares if we lose elections? But well, how many can we save between now and Election Day?
We're supposed to be saying, I mean, the Michigan, Kansas, what he's referring to is how in Michigan and Kansas, there were ballot initiatives that came out that were overwhelmingly voted against because people in Michigan and Kansas wanted the right to access abortions.
And Kentucky
right?
and Ohio.
And Vermont.
Yeah. Every time it's been on the ballot. Where it will be in November in Arizona, by the way. This is going to the public ballot in November in Arizona.
So what's fascinating about this is that all this talk about the right of the unborn and how it's a travesty and a great moral sin, all of that goes out the window when it comes to winning elections. And isn't that the most disgusting way to talk about unborn babies? That you can sacrifice unborn babies in order to win an election, in order to appease people? That's really gross. I'm saying that just from the perspective of this. If I built my brand around being a pro-life person, and then during an election year I go, actually, you guys, 70% polling in the United States people want access to abortion care, so maybe we should cool it with the whole saving of babies thing. Well, that's deplorable and that's disgusting.
Well, they're smart enough to know that you can't get any of your agenda put through if you don't win elections. So we have to break a couple eggs, sorry about the pun, or, you know, to win this election, right? I mean, you're right. It's moral cowardice.
Break a couple eggs, kill a couple babies.
You know, I think you get the metaphor, America, you know, right?
So, but how much is my word worth if I say that abortion is murder? And I say that for years, right? And that's my brand. And then during an election year, I go, okay, so abortion is murder, but also winning elections is super important. right? Like, it just, it makes me, it gives me the ick, as the kids like to say. It makes, this is why I have more respect for people that are just, like, insanely pro-life. Do you know what I mean?
They stick to their guns. They have the courage of their convictions. Right?
Those people have my respect. Like, that creepy Catholic lady who's hanging out in front of a Planned Parenthood 7 days out of the week.
Yeah, with the ugly sign.
With the ugly sign. Yeah. I'm like, okay, lady, like, that's a lot of dedication to a cause.
Yeah, there's, you gotta have some level of respect for that level of commitment.
Right. I doesn't mean I agree with it.
No, I hear you, but you got to respect the conviction, the courage for convictions.
Right.
Carrie Lake is on tape 2 years ago for this particular. We've got a law on the books. This 1864.
I know.
And then today, yesterday, she comes back. Well, I don't think anybody's stupid enough to not see right through the purely political.
Yeah.
You know, waffling that these folks are doing.
It's really amazing how quickly people will back away from their principles. Right. Like I'm a pretty stalwart advocate for gay marriage. Right. I will contest that for a very long time, that the state has no right to interfere in the matrimony between two consenting adults. There is not an election year that could pop up that would make me say, so equal rights under the law is important, but it is an election year, you guys.
We're not going to get those tasty tax cuts through if we hang our hat on this marriage issue.
Right. Like there's a lot of things that I really care about from a policy perspective. I really think that every American in the United States has the right to access clean drinking water, right?
Yeah.
I firmly believe that. I'm not going to do this thing during an election year where I say, yeah, so you know the federal funding on clean drinking water? You know, that's a pretty decent chunk out of the federal budget. You guys think that maybe we should cut that down? So
we can't keep borrowing from our kids' future and put the debt on our grandkids. Let them drink mud. It's more fiscally responsible if they drink mud.
We're trying to be more fiscally responsible here. Yeah, I think maybe if we get rid of the Clean Water Act, you know, maybe we could cut down on a couple bill every year.
And clean air, you like wearing masks? Wear a mask.
And then we'll show people that we're fiscally conservative and we'll win this election. It's very, very important for us. So I just feel bad for all the pro-life people out there that are watching Donald Trump and all these other luminaries of the pro-life movement literally bend over backwards trying to justify a pro-choice stance.
Well,
right?
The best analogy I heard was that for 50 years, the Republican Party has been chasing this car with Right to Life. And now that they've caught the car, like a dog who caught the car, they don't know what to do with it. They got a mouthful of bumper and they don't know what to do.
No Stupid Questions is a segment we like to do. It's my favorite segment of the day. I never get mad. I never get upset. I never take my headphones off and stare at the ceiling. When someone upsets me, I never storm out of the studio, and I certainly never go downstairs into the John Curley Memorial Refreshment Center and hide from everybody for 10 minutes.
Eating my weight in power bars.
That's never occurred. I am not mercurial, and I am not prone to explosive fits of rage, which is why you can text us at 888-973-5476 to hear me not be mad. It's a not mad segment, right, Laura?
Text us without fear.
Without fear of reprisal, because I will always be nice and kind when we get back right after this.
There are no stupid questions.
Only stupid answers. Ah, yes, no stupid questions. A segment where I never get mad and I never yell at anybody. It says, Jack and Spike, what are your recommendations for reading up and learning more about transgender? Not plural, singular. I can't answer that question.
Oh, okay.
Because it should be plural. No, the way you start is avoid gender theory, because gender theory is trash and garbage and conjecture. And you want to start with the neuroanatomy of transgender individuals, and you want to look at longitudinal studies. And also, you don't want to look at anything that has to do with like a snapshot study. Those are all garbage.
Okay.
Snapshot study is a researcher puts out a notification, hey, anybody want to answer these 5 questions? And then they come in and then they give the answers. What you want is actual researchers who are working in the field who have clients or patients who get asked those questions, so they don't have time to prepare for them in advance and give, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the way you want to do that. Don't look at gender theory, because gender theory is just trash. It doesn't make any sense. The thing about trans people is we're dealing with very complex neurobiologic phenomenon. So in the same way that a human being could be born with 2 heads or 3 arms or whatever it is, we understand that someone can be born without a pancreas or born without a foot. But for some reason, when it's internal, when it's in the brain, we don't understand that on occasion someone can have effectively a brain that is more similar to the sex that they were not assigned at birth. So that's the way that I choose to talk about it, because it's much more science and much more based. Mr. Moon says, God spoke to me too. They said, hey, those Skippy peanut butter chocolate wafers at Costco look tasty. Who can deny God? That's what I always say whenever God talks to me. My question is why MAGA Mike Johnson, right? Why does God only speak to MAGA Mike Johnson? Do you know what I mean?
It's because he's a Southern Baptist.
Look, right. I'm a Southern Baptist. I don't want to get too spooky on you, okay? But, you know.
He has more snakes than you do, Jack.
I got snakes is what I got. Keep the devil away. Mona from Tacoma. Jack and Spike, I have a question. What do we do about the creeps who use the I'm trans line to scope out the ladies in the gym locker rooms or the bathroom? So that's already illegal, Mona. That's if you enter a bathroom to scope people out. Mm. That's like if I go into the men's bathroom here at Cairo while Spike is in the stalls and then I peer over the stall, I will get fired, I will get arrested, and I will be charged, right?
Yep, and so gender's got nothing to do with it.
So when you talk about protecting our girls from those ones, we already have those laws in place, right? Yeah. So
happen at Expedia.
Happen. So when you... that's so dark, Laura.
Yeah.
So dark. When people engage in nefarious behavior in locker rooms or in bathrooms, there are already laws against it. If I walk into the women's bathroom here and say that I'm trans and peer over a stall, I am going to get arrested, as it is in all 50 states. So, yeah.
And I don't judge any community by the worst among them. I don't think all Republicans are nuts because of the lady in a Trump riding a tank T-shirt at a rally. You know, I don't judge the trans community by the people who are pretending to be pedophiles, yeah, or voyeurs in a restroom. You know,
yeah,
that's where we get in dangerous places.
And that's what a lot of commentators rely on, are these people who are ill or who think that they're 7 instead of 55 or something like that. Something that has nothing to do with trans anatomy or transgender individuals, which is really quite very sad. Hey, Jack and Spike, I work in a kitchen. 95% of the cooks are Mexican. Bienvenidos. My boss told the Mexicans that Spanish speaking isn't allowed in the kitchen. No me gusta is what I would say to that boss. Although not all of them speak English. Isn't that against freedom of speech? Should I turn him in or better call Jesse Jones? Call Jesse Jones. Get him on the case. Friend of the show.
Love Jesse. Boy, you really want to police how people speak in the kitchen? You want the efficiency and effectiveness of your staff?
No me gusta.
With the world they can operate. So what do you think they're talking about you behind your back? Are you that paranoid?
See.
As an owner?
See.
I think you let people live, man. Don't be so fragile.
Español es espectacular is what I would say is what I would say to your boss, right? It's got my California Spanish is so bad.
Yeah, I wonder where this person works in the kitchen. The 95% of the cooks are Mexican. I bet it's the best Thai restaurant in town.
Para mi?
By the way.
Para mi?
I spoke Spanish.
In California, you get an education in Spanish, but you're
better for it.
But it comes, right? Like when I speak Spanish, because I can speak Espequinto Spanish, it's so bad because it's California Spanish. Okay. It's not actually, because I'm speaking it like how a Californian speaks Spanish.
Okay.
It's every single syllable, right?
But
espectacular.
But you can communicate.
La playa.
Love that voice.
All right. We'll take a really quick break when we get back. Speaking of espectacular, Mr. John Curley is going to be coming on for a couple of few. Senor Curley, as I like to call him. Talking about how these two Oregon and Washington cities are named amongst the best to live in the United States. Seattle Public Library is resorting to rolling branch closures, which is a weird way to say we don't have enough money. And gas prices are rising in Washington. What? What are we going to do? Save pennies at the pump? How are we going to do that? We'll own 10 cars, just like you and John Curley.
I never drive 9 of them.
Exactly. That's the way that you do it. Saving all kinds of money. We'll talk about it when we get back right after this.